Good morning, good afternoon, or good day, if you prefer. It's the Panic Podcast for Monday. It's good to have you with us. My name is Mike. I'm your online Bible study buddy. Today we are continuing in our series on the fruit of the Spirit. We're going to be looking at meekness. Meekness. What's that all about? We'll find out today on the Panic Podcast. We'll get started in a second. Good day. I hope you guys are doing all right, and I hope that you have been enjoying the presence of the Lord. Hope you had good church services yesterday, and I trust that you are ready, willing, and able to study this most interesting fruit of the Spirit today. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness or meekness, and self-control. We're up to the second last fruit of the Spirit. Gentleness or meekness. What is that all about? Well, we live in anything but a gentle world. It's a fast-paced world that prizes things like power and assertiveness and self-promotion, things like that. It seems like the loudest, the shrillest voices seem to dominate the conversation, and the strongest wills always seem to get their way. They seem to bend others in their direction. So it's pretty easy to feel overwhelmed. I think we see aggression on the road, you know, road rage, famous American thing, hostility in debates, a relentless push for dominance in just about every sphere of life. But what if I told you that strength, true strength, lies not in force, but in surrender? What if the path to greatness is paved not with conquest, but humility? Well, today we're going to look at the eighth spiritual fruit, meekness, or as it appears in some more modern translations, gentleness. And I think that this one stands out as particularly countercultural. Like to our modern ears, meekness might sound a lot like weakness or passivity or maybe even cowardice. But I'll tell you what, if that's what you equate meekness with, you couldn't be more mistaken. Meekness is literally power under control, strength harnessed for good, essentially a heart that has been yielded to God. It's the quiet confidence of knowing that God is in charge, so we don't have to be. I hope that by the end of the program today, your spirit will be stirred to cultivate this very, very special fruit, bearing witness to the transformative power of the Holy Spirit in your life. So let's talk about meekness, the true meaning of meekness. The Greek word translated meekness or gentleness in our text is praoutes, and you see it 9 times used throughout the New Testament, and it actually carries with it a very rich and multifaceted meaning. In classical Greek literature, praoutes was used to describe a wild stallion, believe it or not, that had been broken and now was obeying instantly and willingly the slightest tug of its rein. Now, that mighty horse didn't lose any of its power or its strength, but it was now under control. That's what meekness is all about. In the Bible, meekness is, as one scholar brilliantly put it, humility in action. I like that. Humility in action. It's the willingness to submit our rights or our reputation and certainly our strength to God. It's the exact opposite of things like self-assertion or revenge. Paul actually connects meekness or gentleness to other virtues in some of his writings. We're not going to read these verses, but jot them down and look them up at your leisure. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2, Paul urges his readers and us to, quote, walk with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. Colossians 3:12, Paul lists meekness among the clothing of the new creation. He writes, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, meekness and other virtues. And then in 2 Timothy 2:25, the apostle instructs us to correct opponents in meekness. Yeah, if you're going to argue with somebody, make sure you're gentle about it. Meekness is never spineless. For example, Moses, I mean, here was a man who confronted Pharaoh and parted the Red Sea. And Numbers 12:23 describes him like this. Numbers 12:3. Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men who were upon the face of the earth. Now, how in the world could the same man who boldly marched into Pharaoh's chambers and shouted at him, let my people go, be described as meek? Well, it's because his strength was not his own. See, Moses had learned to wait on God, to speak only when God told him to speak, and to strike the rock only when God said, strike. Moses, for the most part, his power was under God's control. Jesus himself in Matthew, Matthew 11:29, I think it is. I wrote this down, but Matthew 11:29. Jesus gives us a perfect definition. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. I am gentle or meek and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Yep, that's the same Jesus who marched into the temple courtyards and overturned the money changers' tables, who pronounced the seven woes upon the Pharisees, and who one day will return to our earth wielding a sword. That same Jesus was described as meek, gentle, humble in heart. He's meek because every act of strength was perfectly submitted to the will of his Father. I mean, he could have called 12 legions of angels at any moment, yet he chose the cross. That's what meekness looks like. So meekness has nothing whatsoever to do with being weak. It's about being strong, but being strong in the right way, at the right time, and certainly for the right reason. It's strength that has been crucified with Christ and now exists by the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit. Now, of course, Jesus is our supreme example of this fruit of the Spirit. Isaiah prophesied this, about 700 years before Jesus was born. Isaiah 53, verse 7. Speaking of, writing of Jesus, he was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. That's right, when the soldiers spat in his face and punched him and yanked out his beard, when they drove nails into his hands, the Lord Jesus did not retaliate. Yeah, he could have. The might of heaven was at his disposal. He could have ended the mockery forever. Instead, his prayer sounded like this. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. I mean, just think about the night he was betrayed. Peter, impulsive, very protective of his Lord, drew a sword and cut off the high priest's servant's ear. Now, Jesus' response is classic meekness. Matthew 26, 52 and 53, Jesus said, "Put your sword back in its place," Jesus said to Peter, "for all who draw the sword will die by the sword. Do you think I cannot call on my Father and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels?" And then, get this, Jesus healed the very man Peter had wounded, stuck his ear back on. Strength under control. Power yielded to the Father's plan. Even Jesus' teaching, he exalted meekness. Remember in the Beatitudes, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Matthew 5:5. You know, the world believes the aggressive shall inherit the earth. Jesus says the meek do. Well, how's that possible? It's because the earth is not ultimately owned by the loudest of the richest or the most aggressive. The earth is owned by the Father, and he chooses to give it to those who trust him completely, the meek. Now, the early church understood this. Remember when Stephen was being stoned? This is what we are told happened in Acts 7, 59 and 60. While they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And then he fell on his knees and cried out, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." When he had said this, he fell asleep. Does that sound familiar? That's basically what Jesus said on the cross, right? That's the fruit of the Spirit on full display. "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." Meekness, even in the face of imminent death. So we know what meekness looks like in Scripture. But what does meekness look like, say, on a Monday morning? Well, I guess it looks like a thousand choices, doesn't it? For example, in the home, a husband who leads his family with sacrificial love rather than dictatorial demands. I remember my dad. Oh, this is terrible. When we were kids, my sister and I used to tease my dad relentlessly over a pair of green pants he used to wear. Green checked pants. I don't know if my sister remembers those or not. It seemed like those were the only pair of pants that he had. And we used to tease him and make fun of him. And I remember Mom pulling us aside one time and telling us that, you know, that's really the only pair of pants my dad had to wear at home, when he wasn't at work, because, I mean, he chose to buy us things instead of buying himself a new pair of pants. Well, we felt pretty bad after that, but I guess my dad was demonstrating, you know, sacrificial love. A wife who responds to her husband's shortcomings with grace instead of criticism. Parents who discipline their children with firmness, but never with rage. And children who honor their parents even when they feel misunderstood. That's what meekness looks like on a Monday morning. How about in the workplace first thing Monday morning? Well, an employee who works diligently, even when the boss takes credit for their ideas. Yeah, like that's never happened to any of you guys listening, eh? A supervisor who corrects mistakes without crushing spirits. A business owner who treats the janitor with the same respect as the board member gets. That's what meekness looks like in the workplace on Monday morning. How about in the church? What does meekness look like? How about this? A member who serves faithfully without needing the spotlight. Somebody who works in the background, never sees, nobody ever sees what they're doing. Maybe they get a thank you, maybe they don't. They don't do it though to be thanked by the pastor or by the elders. God noticing is all that's important to them. How about a Sunday school teacher who listens more than they speak? Or a leader who admits when they're wrong? You know, when conflict arises in the church, and it always does, the meek, well, they refuse to gossip. They refuse to form factions and refuse to demand their own way. What about meekness in response to evil? I think this is maybe the hardest because, well, let me say first, meekness doesn't mean we never confront evil or sin. Jesus did it all the time head on. Paul confronted sin. But meekness confronts evil with the goal of restoration if possible, not destruction. Remember what Jesus said? Pray for your enemies. Remember what Paul wrote to his friends in the Galatian church? He said, brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently, but watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. That's Galatians 6:1. Yep, gotta be careful. You gotta be careful. Meekness also means that we can be slandered or misunderstood or overlooked, mistreated. Still trust God to defend us. You know, David was a man after God's own heart, and yet he refused to lift his hand against crazy King Saul, who was trying to kill him even when he had clear opportunities. 1 Samuel 24:12, may the Lord judge between you and me, and may the Lord avenge the wrongs you, King Saul, have done to me. But my hand will never touch you. That, my friends, is meekness. Now, here's, I think, the most important truth that I can give you today. You cannot, I repeat, you cannot manufacture meekness by trying to be meek or by trying harder. So I know some of you, after the podcast, you're going to determine in your own hearts, I'm going to be a meek person now. I'm going to be meek. It doesn't work like that. It does not work like that. You're going to wake up tomorrow morning and you're going to say, by golly, I'm going to be a meek person today. Watch out, world. Watch how meek I can be. Okay, I'm talking about a fruit of the Spirit, not a work of the flesh. Okay, there are naturally meek people out there, like, you know, the shy types or the very, very gentle types. That's their temperament. That's just the way they are made. This is not like that. As I said, I'm talking about a fruit of the Spirit, not a work of the flesh. Galatians makes this perfectly clear. Now, the works of the flesh in Galatians chapter 5 are obvious. Things like adultery, hatred, wrath, strife, jealousy, envy, that kind of thing. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, meekness. Now, what's the thing about fruit? What is the one thing that what is the one thing that an apple, a banana, and other fruit have in common? My mind went blank there. I know there's more than just apples and bananas in the fruit world. I'm not stupid. But what's the one thing that all fruit has in common? And don't say it's good for you, because not all fruit is good for you. Actually, grapes aren't really good for you. I love them, but they're not real great for you. All fruit grows. It has to. If fruit doesn't grow, it's dead. You might as well throw it out. It is produced by the life of the tree. So if you're trying to be meek in your own strength, I promise you this, you will eventually explode or implode. The only way to have consistent meekness in your life is to daily walk in the Spirit. It's not a mystery. It's not a mystery. It's easy to say, walk in the Spirit. It's not always easy to do. Do you know what walking in the Spirit means? Let me help you. To walk in the Spirit, it means you must daily surrender your will to God's will. Remember what Jesus said, not my will, but yours be done? That's surrender. Now, that is not easy to do. I'm telling you that from one strong-willed person to another, that's not easy to do. But if you want to walk by the Spirit, you've got to daily surrender your will to God's. Also, constant prayer. And that doesn't mean that you're praying 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, but it means that you live in an attitude of prayer. And you got to get up every morning and ask the Holy Spirit to fill you afresh. I know you're full of the Spirit. Hey, listen, I came of age in the Pentecostal church, so I know all about being full of the Holy Spirit, baptized in the Holy Spirit, and I'm giving you a piece of advice. If you want to be a person of constant prayer, ask the Holy Spirit to fill you afresh every day. But you also have to live in obedience to the Word. That's not easy. You got to let the Holy Spirit shape your responses to people and events that surround you. And those responses need to be based on the Word of God. Return love for evil, that kind of thing. And you got to fellowship with Christ. I mean, more than just an hour on Sunday morning and an hour on Wednesday night. Look at the more time you spend with the meek one himself, the more you will become like him. Spend time with Christ. Spend time in Christ with prayer. In prayer. Spend time in Christ in worship, meditation. When you're driving your car, of course, pay attention to the road and what you're doing on the road, but fellowship with Christ. Develop a Christ consciousness. So that whatever you're doing, you're always very aware that you are in his presence and that he is with you. The promise of our text is that against such there is no law. I usually leave that last sentence out because I don't want to have to explain it, but I'm going to explain it now. You know, after Paul lists the fruit of the Spirit, he says, against such there is no law. It's Galatians 5:23, the very last phrase. When the fruit of meekness is growing in your life, no one will ever need to pass a law against you. You know why? You'll never be a threat to society. You will be a blessing to people around you. I know that the world may mock the meek. The world may call them losers, weaklings, pushovers, gullible. I don't know what kind of words they use. But heaven records a different story. Jesus said the meek will inherit the earth, not just a corner lot somewhere, the renewed creation itself. The day is coming when every knee will bow. And every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And on that day, ladies and gentlemen, the meek will shine like the sun. The arrogant, well, they'll be humbled by force, but the meek will be exalted. There's a very interesting story in the early days of the Welsh revival. A powerful preacher was invited to speak at a small chapel. The little church was just packed. As he stood up to preach his sermon, a young, dirty, unknown miner stood up at the very back and he began to sing a simple hymn in a trembling voice. Well, The preacher was a little put out. I mean, this was his moment after all. But the Holy Spirit fell on that little chapel in such power that the meeting went on for hours in deep repentance and joy. Later on, someone asked the famous preacher how he felt about being upstaged by that unknown dirty miner. Here's what he said. He said, "I learned that night that God can use a broken vessel far better than a polished one." That is meekness. The Holy Spirit is in the business of breaking us, not destroying us, but breaking us to harness us for His glory. The question is, will you yield today? Will you say, "Lord, I've been too proud, I've been too argumentative, I've been too quick to defend myself, too slow to forgive. Fill me with your meekness. Make me like Jesus." It takes a meek person to say that. The Lord is calling you to become meek. Let's do what we can to walk in the Spirit, not walk in the flesh. Okay, that's it for today. Busy week, of course. You know, it's what they call Holy Week in some denominations. We had the Palm Sunday on Sunday. This weekend is Easter Sunday. Make sure you're planning on going to church. I know some of you listening to the podcast, you go to church like twice a year, Christmas and Easter. Well, here it is. Here's your first time in 2026. We'll be looking for you. I'll be looking for you. I know who you are. Be sure you're in church bright and early Easter morning. Well, not that early, 10 o'clock. We'll be looking for you. Now, we'll be back on Wednesday with the next Panic. With the next Panic podcast. I was going to say the 3 minutes. Yeah, we're doing a whole series on 3 minutes with Mike. Have we started Romans yet? I can't remember which ones are being uploaded. Got a study in Romans coming up at some point. But this Wednesday, we're starting a brand new series. We wrapped up our series on the Christian family last Wednesday. This Wednesday, we're starting a brand new series. We're going to do a survey of the Sermon on the Mount. We're going to touch the high points of the Sermon on the Mount. We'll start on Wednesday. In the meantime, have a great rest of the day today. It's going to warm up. It's going to be a beautiful week. Be a blessing. Don't just, be a meek person, yes, but be a blessing to someone today. We'll talk again soon. God bless.